Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Thank you for joining us. It feels like it's been a long time. This is kind of my new schedule. I'm on Mondays and Tuesdays, at least for this term. Jerome Hebert, who is the sane environmentalist who's picked up Wednesdays and Thursdays for me, is flexible. So next term, if my schedule changes, my days on the air might change. He's helping to accommodate my school schedule. So it feels like it's been a long time. It's like been quite a few days since I've been on the air. I'm very excited to have with us this morning Dave Parrish from Operation Save the Earth. His last videos, the last two videos, I thought myself personally were knee slappers. I thought they were really great. But thanks, Dave, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Lonnie. I love being on your show. Thanks again for inviting me over.
Well, I love having your... I hope that you will come back regularly because I love you. You're so inspirational. You know, your last two videos were pretty interesting. A couple weeks ago, you gave a really strong Fuku Friday. He gives these short little... If you don't follow Dave, you're missing out. He's on YouTube. It's under Dave Parrish, P-A-R-R-I-S-H. Mm-hmm. And he runs a website called Operation Save the Earth, and he's got four plans. Do you want to tell him what the four ideas are to save the planet, Dave?
Sure. You know, when the Fukushima nuclear disaster began in 2011, I looked at the severity of the problem and I said, well, where's our actionable plan? You know, everyone's going to want to do something once they hear about, you know, just how bad things are. And there was no plan in place, you know, just a cover-up, you know, that the governments were implementing. So I was like, well, okay, let's come up with a plan. So I tried to come up with something as basic as possible, you know, same kind of situation as if, you know, you had a house fire, right? If you need to know where the fire is, you need to know, you know, how to get the moms and kids out. You need to put the fire out and make sure that never happens again, right? So that's what I did with Operation Save the Earth. The four steps are you got to educate and safeguard yourself against the radiation that has come off of Fukushima Daiichi since 2011. We still have a million people living in Fukushima Prefecture today, and they are still living in highly radioactive areas.
People living there today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's still a million people living there, close to a million people living there right now. Yeah, and their attitude is, well, the government says it's fine, so you know we're just going to keep on smiling and keep rolling along. So you know that part of the plan is not going very well. That's the worst part of the plan because you know they don't want to leave the house. It's on fire. They don't leave the house, and you know that's the big problem. Of course, you know step three, control and contain the situation at the plant, that's never going to be able to be achieved as long as Tokyo Electric Power Company is still in charge there and messing things up the way they have been for the past 40 years since they, you know, started, you know, construction and operation of the plant. They've been doing it wrong. And then after the disaster, they've been doing extra wrong. So, you know, that's a big problem too. But Step four, you know, making sure it never happens again. Nuclear power is over. We're making huge, huge strides in that area. We've come a long way with that. And I think, you know, the real trend there is, you know, it's like we were talking about in the pre-interview, Lonnie. I think, you know, the next generation especially is starting to really sour on a nuclear future for us. You know, it seemed all whiz-bang and cool in the 50s and 60s, but, you know, here in the 21st century, that is dino tech that does not work for anybody. So, you know, that's what the four-step plan kind of looks like. And like I said, we've made a lot of headway, I think, on steps one and four. Two and three, we still got a long ways to go on.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, evacuating Fukushima is probably not likely going to happen because you're fighting the Japanese, the IAEA, the military. I mean, it's...
Oh, sure.
But this is kind of my thing. There's, I'm beginning to see this. It's been... I can't believe it, but it's been almost 7 years since mm-hmm. Fukushima happened.
Yep.
And it is worse now than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they've basically just normalized radioactive contamination. They have almost stopped measuring radioactive contamination. They've stopped, like I reported last night on my YouTube channel, about how now they're in complete surprise about the salmon collapsing. They're super stunned that we have these very low levels of mollusks, and they are blaming it on the blob.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember what the blob was when in 2011 and 12 we heard that there's going to be a Fukushima plume hitting the West Coast by 2015?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said in 11 and 12.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's going to take a few years to get there. It's going to be very low level. And then come 2015, it transformed itself into, they have no idea what this is, but it's the blob. And now they're blaming the lack of the fish, the collapse of the salmon, the mollusks, the sardines. We mean there's just no sardines on the West Coast.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that there's no fish in the ocean. The numbers are dramatically down.
Dramatically.
And it's probably not just caused by Fukushima.
Right.
But it's like I said to Dr. Chris Busby, you cannot tell me that 7 years of nonstop, over 100,000 gallons of radioactive waste pouring into the Pacific Ocean nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the highest level of contamination we've ever seen, is not affecting the ocean. It's just, it's an impossibility.
Yeah, I mean, even from a scientific approach, I mean, you can't really just wish that away, you know? And, you know, all this, you know, scientific, you know, mysteries and being baffled by what's going on. You know, from what I've been able to gather from the oceanographic community, so-called oceanographic community, is, you know, they just go where the money is, you know, and they don't want to ruin their reputations. They don't want to get blacklisted. They, you know, they've worked hard to, you know, get this, you know, level of stature in academia. You know, they don't want to rock the boat, you know, so no wonder they're, you know, mystified and baffled by all this stuff that's going on. When, you know, any person, any lay person out there can look with their own eyes and be able to see for themselves, you know, that the Pacific Ocean is in a real crisis mode right now. And, you know, when is it going to end? Who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I mean, you can make projections. You can, you know, have prayers and wishes. You know, they're about the same at this point. You know,
they're not even doing... this is the thing. It's not that it's going to end. They're not doing anything to slow the train down. The shipping lanes are still doing exactly what they've always done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
High polluters, high users of fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
That we're still pouring radioactive contaminated waste into every single waterway that is possible. I mean, it's beyond. And this is where, like, I've sort of. And I think I might probably speak for a lot of people. At a certain point, why continue? Like, what's the point? Like, at a certain point is like, it reminds me of what we think about with the pharaohs leading their people out into the desert, building these big, you know, pyramids, mm-hmm. having whatever happened out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we hear about these pharaohs who just basically stayed out there long after they had agriculture. People literally starve themselves to death out in the middle of the desert. That's kind of what we're doing. We're just following the pharaohs.
Right. You know, so, you know, what I like where we're heading now, though, Lonnie, is, you know, we're moving away from that, especially with the next generation. It's like I've been saying, you know, they have been so plugged into the technology. They grew up with their cell phones. They know way more than we did when we were kids, okay? And they see the light. They see the writing on the wall. They're not going to allow the ignorance of the past to guide them. And I'm telling you right now, I'm predicting it. We're going to see in the next 25 years a complete revolutionary change in how we look at things and how we do things because of that next generation. They're going to lead the way. They have to. They literally have to. I mean, the old dichotomy where the old people who seem to know best, who seem to, you know, have the right answers, you know, it's becoming obvious that they're motivated by only greed, only their own self-possessions and things like that. They don't care about, you know, the greater good. They don't care about the collective. And that's the kids growing up, they are very into that. They are very into, you know, being, you know, part of this larger group that really is capable of doing things, because, you know, that's what I really like that this next generation is growing up on. I mean, we have a whole generation of anarchists because they grew up loving Harry Potter books, right? So they really believe that they can go out there and change the world. And I have literally seen this. I've seen these kids go out and, you know, just take charge. Now, I'm not saying that kids haven't, you know, all along throughout the history of, you know, whatever activism there is, because that's always been the case. But I'm seeing it in a more collective and unified way. And, you know, I know it seems like impossible now, but I really believe that, you know, and I wouldn't be, you know, getting up every day and fighting as hard as I do with Operation Save the Earth if I didn't. I really, really believe that this next generation, if we empower them the right way going forward, that they can really be the ones that turn this thing around. And I'm not just talking about Fukushima. I'm talking about the whole thing. You know, I mean, you talk about it all the time, Lonnie. We have a current administration in Washington that is very anti-environment, right? They don't believe in climate change. They think that pollution is great. Whatever, you know, is going to make money for whichever fat cat, you know, fill in the blank, right? But, you know, they're getting pushback all over the place, on the state level, on the local level. And who's doing it? Who's leading the charge? It's the ladies of the community, the moms out there, because why they're worried about their kids. The kids are seeing moms doing the work, and they're saying, hey, I want to be part of that too.
That's the interesting thing, is it really is a lot of the women are really moving, pushing through this movement and being more. This is a hard thing for me to comprehend, like why that attitude. And maybe it's because women give birth, and maybe it's because we see generations, 3-4 generations down the line, that this is very, very critical. This is not something we can just choose to ignore.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was talking about on my show last week. I mean, to me, I mean, women have always led the way, especially in nuclear. I mean, look at Sister Megan Rice, all right? Her whole life, okay? And this is what has to continue going forward. Women literally are the keepers of life, the flame of life, okay? Y'all are important for, you know, the species continuing, all right? And what do we have reports? What do we have studies that say you talked with Dr. Busby about this last week, you know, women and children are more susceptible to the effects of radiation. It doesn't matter if it's low-dose radiation. It doesn't matter if it's high-dose radiation. It's all the same. They're all going to be affected on a cellular level much more so than men are. That's, you know, what the studies and reports have shown us. So why on earth, you know, aren't all women on the planet saying, whoa, 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 hold up, no more nukes, that's it.
You know why? I saw a pro-nuker last night I went to the COP, climate planet change thing that's going on in Bonn, Germany.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, sure, yep.
COPD or whatever they call it. Yep. I don't know what they call it. But there was a lady there who said I saw a blogger. She said she used to be very anti-nuclear, and then her friend studied radio biology or something like that. And this is what she was told by her friend, that there's no real danger with radioactive contamination seeping into the water, because radioactivity clings to the dirt. It doesn't get into the groundwater. Literally, that was written on her blog. Literally, this is what they are telling the students. This is what they're telling people to sell the pro-nuclear agenda. It is a pack of lies. And when you confront them, they're like, you are grotesquely misinformed. That was the old science. New science has shown us that it's very safe. It's a great alternative. And this is really what we're up against.
Yeah, and that, you know,
they have convinced very educated people. These are not stupid people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, see, that's been their MO the whole time, Lonnie. I mean, what does the pro-nukers do? They go out and they hire these people. They pay them to say this. They say, oh, you know, endorse this, da-da-da. It's the same as, you know, having, you know, a football player sell a can of soup, all right? I want to get this, you know, individual. It looks like they know what they're talking about. And yum, yum, this soup is really awesome. So everyone wants to buy the soup, right? It's the same deal. Oh, well, this professor is, you know, has this reputation, blah, blah, blah. We're going to tell him that, you know, this nuclear soup is really good. And here, everybody buy the nuclear soup, right? No, no. See, that's the thing, Lonnie. And I was talking about before, the kids, they don't buy that. They see right through that garbage. And anybody who's a Fuku fighter, you know they do. Okay? So, you know, here's...
Well, I think, Dave, don't you think there's three types of people? There's Fuku fighters or people that are aware of it. There's people who don't believe it, who are really pro-nuclear, who believe in the, quote, new science. And then there's a whole bunch of people in the middle that are sort of like, don't quite know who to believe, don't really want to have to pay attention to it.
Yep.
Choose to ignore it and say, if it was that serious, the government would. Like you told me, there's a million people still in Fukushima Prefecture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought there was like maybe 300,000 at max.
Yeah, that's what I used to think too. But, you know, I thought that after the disaster, a lot more people would have just fled. You know, and don't get me wrong, a lot of people did. But these are people who had places to go, had money. Right. And, you know, we're able to do so. We had the resources, basically. And again, you know, in Japan, you know, you have to remember that land is passed down from generation to generation to generation. It can be like hundreds of years that your family owns this plot of land. No matter what kind of disaster comes along, do you really think on a family level in Japan that people want to leave that plot of land that has been passed down from generation to generation? Absolutely not. You know, the societal pressure to keep that plot of land is super, super important. And you know that the temporary, quote unquote, temporary housing units that they've been putting up to store all the radioactive soil and waste that they had collected along the roadsides. Well, you know, they had to negotiate to get the land for that from people who had already moved out. And that's what took so long for these housing units to get built, is because these people we're like, well, you know, is it really temporary? Am I going to be able to get my land back at some point? You know, because again, you know, it's a really, really important family thing in Japan. So, you know, I'm not blaming the people who are still there, who are still stuck in Fukushima Prefecture. What my goal is, and what I want to be able to refocus Operation Save the Earth going forward, starting in 2018, is to be able to give the people who are still stuck there an option if they want to leave. If they really, you know, want to leave, but have up to this point have not had the resource, have not had the opportunity, have not had the place to go, I want to be able to work with NGOs in Japan, the people who are there already doing the good work, and say, look, let's find ways to get these folks out and get them vouchers, get them waivers, get them whatever they need to get away from those areas. Because, you know, I don't know about you, Lonnie, but I look at videos literally every week of these hot spots all around Fukushima Prefecture that are well over what should be acceptable for anybody to be walking around in. If you're like out walking around in the forest, you are taking an incredible risk. If you're out, you know, walking around on a hiking trail in Fukushima Prefecture in some of these radiated areas, you are taking an incredible risk. And I'm like, why? Why? I mean, and the kids, if the Japanese kids and, you know, their parents are telling them, oh, you know, it's okay, go out and play, you know, they're going to get sick quicker. And we definitely saw that. I mean, we saw increased thyroid cancer rates across the board in Fukushima Prefecture. The rates of thyroid cancer in Fukushima Prefecture compared to the rest of the country, it's like 10 to 1. The rate that it's wow. exploded. It's like, oh, and here's their argument, you know, the so-called, you know, new science argument. Oh, well, you know, it's just we're just, you know, testing more, so that's why we're seeing more thyroid cancer. And that is the most ridiculous argument I have ever heard of. I'm like, really? So, you know, if I tested everybody in my neighborhood for the common cold, and I find out, well, like, you know, I got 30%, you know, have the common cold. Does that mean that because of my testing, that common cold is now on the rise? No. Okay, that's ridiculous. All right, so, you know, here's the reality. You live in Fukushima Prefecture, and if you're a kid, guess what? You're more susceptible to radiation. We just talked about that. Hey, you are in trouble, okay? That means you need to leave. And if you're a mom, I know you're concerned. If you're a dad, I know you're concerned. If you're a grandma, I know you're concerned. Because, you know, these kids, they're in harm's way. And it's not just in Fukushima Prefecture. There's other areas of Japan that were also hit with the radiation plume. So, you know, it's a really sticky situation. And I just want the people of Japan to know this, okay, that they are not alone. Okay, there are people literally all around the world who are concerned for them on a daily basis, and we are continuing and will continue to work on their behalf forever. For as long as this Fukushima nightmare continues, which will be forever, we will be here. So we need to continue to bolster the ranks. We need to continue to push forward and make the changes that we need to. I mean, look at the alternative, Lonnie. If we stop right now, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. It's simple. You can just write everything off. Yeah. You know, 15, 20 years from now, all of our efforts, nothing's going to matter. It won't matter.
You know, I keep thinking about, like, the nuclear taboo. On my YouTube channel, I'm doing a nightly thing at 8:30 at night. I do it at 8:30 at night because that's, like, the first time I'm able to stop in the day.
Right.
So I do it at 8:30 every night for just a half an hour, and I'm calling it Breaking the Nuclear Taboo. Nice. Because it's kind of like what you're talking about. The same thing could be said to the people living next door to the Westlake landfill.
Yes.
I mean, there is no aid for them to be able to move away, no vouchers, no. Some people want to sell their homes. Some people want to keep their land for the same reasons that you were talking about.
Yep.
It's been in their family for like as generations. They are not about to just walk away. People feel a certain element of pride in where they live. They're grounded. It's part of who they are. It took me a while to comprehend this with the people of St. Louis, to be honest, because when I first heard about this story, I was like, dude, move away.
Right.
Like, just like pack your kids up and get the heck away. But it took me a while to really comprehend. They're not going to give away, because for them, that's like giving up. And they are fighters. People are going to fight for their land. They're going to fight for their families.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is they don't recognize that while they're fighting, they're poisoning their children and their futures. Like, we don't have a program here in the United States to move anybody out. I know people there that are living there in family homes. The reason they're living there is because they don't have to pay rent.
Sure.
You move a family of four to a place anywhere else. That's not, you know, like if you get a good job, let's say you're a professional, you want to move to another city, your rent for a family of four is going to be at least $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just an impossibility for some people. You might as well just ask them to pay $1,000,000. I mean, this is where we're at, and I'm sure it's the same with many people in the Fukushima Prefecture. Where are they going to go? They just don't have the resources. Like, what do you do? And especially when you wake up every day and the sky still looks blue, the mm-hmm. air feels great, the grass is beautiful green, mm-hmm. the ocean feels wonderful. You get no indication that you're being poisoned. Life is great.
Yep, and that's what the Japanese government wants you to believe. It's to the tune of, like, hey, let's have Olympic events there in 2020, right?
Let's have some surfing.
Yeah, let's have some surfing. Let's have some softball at the J Village. Let's have some soccer events. And it's like, you know, hey, everybody, move back into the difficult-to-return areas. We'll send you some flying fried chicken, you know, with some drones. You know, everything will be fine. You know, that's the attitude there. Everything's fine. everything will be fine. That's the mantra. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. But you know what? Everything's not fine. You know, you live in a radioactive area. And, you know, there's always this argument, especially with the pro-nukers. Oh, you live in a radioactive world. You ate radioactive bananas. You have, you know, cosmic rays bombarding you all the time. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, there's a difference between naturally happening radioisotopes and artificially happening radioisotopes, ones that are created by man, ones that, you know, are exploded from nuclear facilities. Okay, these are huge, huge differences. Okay, but you're not willing to talk about those. You're only willing to talk about your banana chips. And I'm here to tell you folks that that is just absolute garbage. You guys really need to understand that the nuclear threat is a constant one. And you need to ask yourself this: how radioactive a world do I want to live in, really? I mean, these guys can say it's safe all they want, but I got tons of data and a whole armload of experts that will tell you otherwise. Anybody who wants to come to you, listener out there, and tell you that, say, oh, you know, everything's fine, nuclear is safe, blah, 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 all you have to do to beat them down with this argument and say, show me your data. Go ahead and show me your data, because our data is way bigger than theirs, okay? We have literally years and years and years of history, case studies, expert testimonials, people literally, you know, Hanford workers who will explain to you how badly sick they are because they've been exposed to this radioactive crap for years and years and years. So, you know, if you want to, like, you know, keep buying into that nuclear taboo, the myth, the mythology that they created, you know, knock yourself out. You know, don't come crying to me when your kids have thyroid cancer, when you have breast cancer, when you have prostate cancer. Please don't come crying to me.
Well, it's not even cancer. A whole host of things. You get autoimmune disease. You get diabetes. Gosh, yeah. You get schizophrenia. John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin showed that these were the first. Besides having a higher increase of spontaneous abortions, which is miscarriages,
yes.
Besides sterility, the first three things that shows up is schizophrenia and mental disease with anxiety, diabetes, mm-hmm. and autoimmune deficiency issues.
Yeah, those
so you'll, I mean, and then when you're 50, 60 years old, you get cancer.
Then you get cancer, right.
Yeah, it's a progressive thing because it is cumulative. So it's like sandstone. Every layer weighs down on our DNA. That's kind of how I look at it. And it's a crapshoot. We just don't know who's going to get what. I mean, everyone's affected differently, but we do know it affects everyone. And, you know, this is the thing. At what point are they going to continue to suppress the solutions? Because, frankly, there are solutions. We have the phytoremediation that is magnificent in helping stop it. There's sound energy that can reverse the molecules. I mean, there's things that we can do. Mm-hmm. So I think... I mean, this is the issue. This is why I really appreciate your podcast, because it's kept me going a couple of times, I have to say. Like, there's been times in the last few years where I'm like, forget this, man. I'm just going to go hiking. Like, I don't even care. And, you know, then I'm out there in the forest, and I'm like, huh, I wonder how radioactive it is. I wish I had my Geiger counter with me.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it is impossible to switch it off once you turn it on, Lonnie. But... at the same time, you know, you can't have let hopelessness creep in. You know, you have to remember, and I really appreciate, you know, the fact that, you know, what you said about my show, you know, being encouraging for you. And I really hope that it is for everybody. I want all the Fuka fighters out there to be able to tune in and get something out of it. And I just want everybody to know this. You know, if you think it's hopeless, if you think it's not possible, just remember this. Remember fracking? It was supposed to take over everywhere. Well, guess what? States and communities have stood up across the country and said no. And this is true across the world, too. You know, certain countries in Europe, certain countries in South America, they're like, no, we will have nothing to do with fracking. It ruins the aquifer, blah, 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 right? It basically poisons the well, you know, with this, you know, proprietary junk that they inject into the Earth's crust. It's all carcinogenic too, right? But, you know, people have stopped fracking. Cold in its tracks, you know. Are there areas that are still being fracked? Yes. You know, is natural gas still being produced as a result of it? Yes. However, it is not a growth real industry because, you know, people, like I said, grassrooters have stood up in communities. My favorite incident was in New York State. You know, the communities there that grew wine and other farmers, you know, because farming is such a huge industry, both in a dairy and just a vegetable capacity there in New York, that, you know, they lobbied hard in Albany, and they said, hey, man, no fracking up here because we need this water. You know, New York water has its own aquifer, and it's really excellent. I grew up drinking that water. It's delicious. So when they stood up and said, no, 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 and New York government said, okay, well, that's it. Here's the law. No fracking. You know, that's significant. You know, that should show you and everybody else out there that if we all put our heads together, if we put our shoulders down and really push together, miracles can happen and change can happen, and we can make this place livable for the future generations to come. And that's the key right there. That is really the key. We can't stop. You know, once you get woke, you can't go back to sleep. You know, you can schedule fun for yourself, Lonnie. I think that's what's really important. You know, you got to keep that stress off you as much as possible, because that'll kill you just as quick as the radiation, right? So,
that's true. Yeah, I've taken your advice on that one. I'm starting to schedule fun into my life. That's one of the things that Dave said in his videos a couple weeks ago. Is like, make sure you schedule fun. And I'm like, wow, that was so profound. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm missing. So I actually do schedule a little bit of fun every week in my life. Like, sure. I'm just going to go to a friend's. Yesterday, I scheduled a little bit of time to go play ping pong with a friend of mine.
Right. See, that's awesome. I hope every Fuku fighter does that, because, I mean, we fight so hard and we work so hard all the time. And I know everybody out there that does this, they're in the same boat with us. And my message to y'all is this: you know, you are doing an amazing, awesome job that I know nobody thanks you for, but I'm thanking you for it every single day. You inspire me to keep doing what I'm doing. And if I know that together we are, I've seen it literally over the past 7 years, we've accomplished amazing things. Okay, the fact that people know about Fukushima at all is because of the work that you all are doing, the persistence that you all bring into this. And believe me, you know, I want us all to be in this fight for as long as possible. I want us to all stay as stress-free as possible. I know that's incredibly difficult, but, you know, folks, you got to do it. You got to, you know, keep that stress off you. We need you in this fight for as long as possible. It makes life worth fighting for, all those good times that we share with friends and family. So absolutely, please make that time for yourself and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, this is the important part to understand also, is like, this is just part of, I think, living in the age of fission, is we're doing an about face, and we're looking at the trail of mess behind us. Yeah, we have this really great, wonderful lifestyle in the Western world of apparent constant comfort.
Yeah, sure.
And so, but if you look over your shoulder, what we're seeing, what the nuclear industry is, what the fracking, I mean, the fracking industry got stopped, Dave, because they could see it, not because they were
having high and smell ethics. It and taste it, yes.
Right. The reason nuclear doesn't get seen is just like that woman in her blog said, oh, well, the radiation doesn't go into the groundwater. It absorbs to the rocks beneath the earth, so it's perfectly safe.
Well, you know, what I would recommend to people who, you know, can't see, smell, touch, or taste radiation is to go to YouTube and pull up active radioisotopes that are under a spectrometer, because then you can really see how, you know, how radiation works, and how there's like these just little explosions of energy that come shooting out, ching, 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 right? If people really saw what a radioisotope was capable of, I think they really start to see that for themselves, you know. It's hard to, like, you know, because it's so small, right? It's on a microscopic level. You can't see it. You know, it's supposed to be invisible, right? But there's ways to see it. And I'm saying that, you know, go find it for yourself. Because I remember when I first saw that, I was like, whoa, it looks like this nasty spider that's going to come and eat me. I don't want this thing near me. You know, and I think, you know, that really hit at home for me too. It's easy to, like, you know, go, oh, well, this report says this, that report that says that, and you know, I can listen to all, you know, a whole panel of experts who will tell me it's going to do this to you, it's going to do that to you. Like, I remember Dr. Caldicott's symposium in 2013 and everybody showed up. You know, it was great. Chock full of information, but again, you can't see, smell, touch, or taste, you know, any of the things that they're talking about. So, you know, I think, you know, people just need to keep that in mind, put that in perspective for themselves. Go find it, go see for yourself, you know, what it's like. And then if you really want to, you really want to do a deep dive, go to a cancer center sometime, go talk to some of the people who are fighting for their lives, you know, either with chemo or other treatments that are out there, and see what the real tangible results are. You know, I mean, it's really obvious to me now, Lonnie, because to me, I don't know a person that doesn't know somebody who has cancer or who hasn't been, you know, affected by, you know, Fukushima radiation one way, whether, you know, if it's not just thyroid cancer, it's heart disease or any of the other things that you're talking about with autoimmune problems and things like that. You know, those conditions, they're like, you know, the common cold now. You know, it's like I said, you know, people are getting cancer like it's the flu now. And it's like, oh, gee, where'd that come from? It's mystifying. I don't know where it could be coming from.
Right.
Really? Come on. Right. Come on. You know, you can draw literally a straight line from the beginning of the nuclear era to today about the rise of cancer and all these other things, you know.
Genetic mutations.
Sure.
I mean, we have so many handicapped children. I mean, we really have a whole... It is really outrageous. I get outraged when I see these cancer commercials or these commercials with these deformed children saying, please donate your money. We have a rare genetic da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, this did not happen. And then the argument that the pro-nukers will say is that, well, modern medicine has allowed those children to live. In previous days, they would have died. That is so... We just did not have children like that. It's not true. We did not have mutated children. Like... When we look at the history of nuclear, we look at, like, the Marshall Islands. You know, there's only, like, 68,000, 67,000 Marshallese left. I mean, they had more than double that population when the United States arrived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that whole secrecy, it's this nuclear secrecy, they do not speak out against it. They feel guilty. They feel bad, and their children are still affected. And that holds true with every community where there has been nuclear.
Oh,
in Hanford, people do not talk about it.
Nope.
Same thing. And the difference with St. Louis is they have this burning, and even the moms of Westlake Landfill and the people of Coldwater Creek, they get demonized in the news.
Sure.
It's because you can't see it or taste it. This is a thing. If it was fracking or like the Flint water where the water is brown, you can see that.
Yeah.
But with nuclear contamination, you have to be able to hold it into your mind. I mean, it's like Heidi Lambert said, we can't comprehend how infinitesimally small the radioactive nuclear atom is. Like how tiny it is. And how deep it goes into our, if it can pierce our body, think of how tiny the molecular structure is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, try not, that's really the key right there, Lonnie. Try not to look at it like that. You know, try to look at it as the same as the eggs in Cool Hand Luke. Remember that scene in Cool Hand Luke where, you know, Paul Newman's knocking down the eggs? He took a bet and he's like eating eggs and he's just piling on the eggs, right? Well, you know, if we all ate one egg during Three Mile Island, and we all ate one egg during Chernobyl, and then we had to eat three eggs because of Fukushima Daiichi. And, you know, there's people who had to eat, like, I don't know, 70 eggs or something like that back in the 60s when there was all that nuclear testing going on. You know, Marshallese, you talk about eggs, those people are stuffed full of them, right? And there's no going back, right? And the right. So, folks, you gotta really look at this, you know, from that perspective. You know, you're ingesting this stuff, and it doesn't pass through normally. I mean, yes, if you're having a banana and you have, you know, the radioisotopes that come in that, guess what? The body has figured out a way to naturally take that potassium-40 and go, okay, here's what we're going to do with it. Okay, choop, it's gone. It doesn't affect the body. I mean, if you ate like 8 gazillion bananas, it might have an effect on you. But good luck eating those 8 gazillion, okay? You'd have to be like the, you know, the size of King Kong to be able to put those things away. That's not even realistic. So, you know, being able to understand radiation and how it affects us, I understand. Because you can't see, smell, or touch or taste it, does not mean that it's there. Does not mean that it's not affecting you. Does not mean that it's not all around you at all times. So, you know, it's like anything in life. You have to be aware of your surroundings. Know what your environment is. You know, you can put blinders on very simply and just keep chugging down the road all you want. But if you're walking the beach and you're going, gee, how come there's all these dead birds here? And how come, like, there's no sea stars anymore? And, man, look at that starving sea lion over there. Hey, you know, that's you and your environment starting to, like, you know, put two and two together. Okay, there is some serious issues going on all around. And it's not just nuclear issues, not just the fracking issues, not just, you know, what's going on in these areas like Hanford and St. Louis. It's literally all around us.
Right.
So, you know, you got to, you know, really just be conscious of that. Now, does this mean everyone should go out and buy dosimeters and Geiger counters and be prepared for themselves? You know, that's your choice. You know, I would recommend, you know, what I have been recommending this whole time is watch what you eat. You know, that's the number one thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard everyone grew with it, you know, heard this growing up. You are what you eat, right? You have to have a good breakfast in the morning, blah, 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 right? All this stuff, right? But, you know, if you, you know, look at the research, you know, what you put in your body is the number one thing that you need to be aware of. So if you keep putting junk food in your body, guess what? You're going to get diabetes, you know, or heart disease or any of these other, you know, things that come along with that, right? But if you eat, you know, good, clean food, if you, you know, eat, you know, fresh, you know, farmer market, you know, produce, hey, you know, guess what? You're giving your body a chance to thrive and survive and fight off infections, fight off things like this. You know, take your supplements, you know how to protect your body against the extra radionuclides that we have to suffer with all the time, right? There's little things, little tiny adjustments that we can make every single day, you know, to safeguard ourselves, put up a shield,
mm-hmm.
to protect ourselves just a little bit from that.
I heard who was it? The guy's name, Ralph Waters or something, Ralph Smart, I think his name is. He said recently, everything you put into your body is either helping it or hurting it. Just very look simple. At it like that. And it's very simple. If what you're going to consume or drink, is it helping your body? Because there's enough going on out there. We have a choice. We get to choose to live with joy and love. Because we're living in this new, the idea of facing Fukushima doesn't mean that we can't be content and happy and enjoy our lives.
Yes.
It means that we have to be aware of what our new environment is. The man-made, radiological, toxic environment that the planet Earth is hanging on by threads from what we've known. Like, if we all get exterminated, the planet's going to be here. We don't know what it's going to turn into because we've contaminated it to the point where life as we know it can't exist.
Just so as dinosaurs.
It's going to transform into something,
yes,
right?
Of course, of course.
So, but the point is, as a human, I want us to live.
Yeah,
I want our planet. I want to be able to have my children swim in the streams and swim in the ocean instead of telling them, I mean, having a world like Waterworld. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my idea of the future. That's not my projection of the future.
Not at all. And here's the thing I don't really understand, Lonnie. And I think it goes back to a little bit with what you're talking about, how we're comfortable now as a species, right? You know, mankind has been through a lot over the past several thousand years, right? And, you know, we've scratched and clawed and been through natural disasters, wars, you know, famine, plague, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, we've gotten to this place, you know, where we have, you know, these amazing technological advances. We live longer than we ever have. We've, you know, had these advantages throughout the 20th century. And now we're starting to backslide here in the 21st century. We're starting to let it all go. And my question, my challenge to everyone out there is, like, are you going to let this happen on your watch? Are you really going to be the stewards of the human race that let it go down the tubes on your watch? Because that I cannot do. I absolutely cannot let this happen on my watch. There's no way I could wake up in the morning, look at myself in the mirror and go, oh, I'm okay with myself. Not if I know that I can do something to save the populace, save the species, save life as much as possible. And
that is where we're at, too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Dave, we're really at that precipice. And yet we're demonized by people in the, you know, establishment who say, oh, we're just exaggerating.
Oh, yeah, we're just exaggerating, blah, blah, blah. And what are you, press, doing? Sitting on your ass, letting everything flow by, la, 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 just like everybody else. You know, that whole go with the flow thing, right? Well, guess what? The stream has changed, okay? After 3/11/11, that's it, okay? The world will never be able to go back to the way it was before Fukushima Daiichi blew up, okay? This is the reality that we live in now. We live in a post-Fukushima era, okay? That's now, here's the 100%. Thing. Are we going to live in a post Turkey Point era? Are we going to live in a post Pilgrim era? Are we going to live? I mean, there's so many different other nuclear disasters that are just waiting to happen out there. And the longer we wait, you know, the longer the math works against us, right? So again, you know, how radioactive a planet do you want to live in? Do you want to be able to get up, go to work? And, you know, before you go out the door, you got to put your gas mask on, or you got to put something, you know, some type of radioactive resistant suit on before you go to work. You have to, like, dress your kids in radioactive.
If that will even work, you know, that's such.
That's what I'm saying. You know, can we, you know, get there? Can we get there? That's where we're headed. And I'm hoping that's not the case.
Well, that's the point of why we're out speaking out, because really what they're doing, like with this bill, H.R. 3053, literally we are selling our nuclear waste to private industry, literally. And literally the government will have no oversight over where it goes, and they will have complete autonomy to put it into any waterway or any piece of land that they see fit. And the community and the federal government will have no authority to tell them they can't do it. That's what the legislation states.
Oh, yeah. You know, let's hear it for Scotty Pruitt and the EPA. That's all they want. They want to dump. They want to be able to free dump whatever crap, wherever they want. Uh-huh. And, you know, just make more money, more money, more money. And it's like, that's great. You know, you guys are doing all this, you know, amazing work for these corporations so that they could make a nickel that will last for, half a second. When, you know, the reality is, you know, we have a nuclear waste problem that is not being addressed, even though the industry will tell you, oh, well, we're, you know, making all these advances and blah, blah, blah. You know, the reality is, you know, you should be focusing on waste management as job one. Right now going forward, because for the next X number thousand years, that's going to be your job. Okay, so, you know, if that's the future that really lies before us, hey, why not start preparing for it today, industries? It's like, oh, well, no, you know, let's make our ducat now, because, you know, even if your attitude is like, well, we're screwed anyways, you know, may as well just, you know, ride it out. My question to you is this: if that's your attitude, are you really doing all you can with your time then? I mean, seriously, if you think that everything's just screwed, what are you doing with your life? What are you really doing with your life? Because if that was my attitude, and see, that's kind of what it is, Lonnie. I was like, well, let's see, 3/11 happened. What am I going to do with my life? oh, I don't know, may as well save the world as much as possible. Because I still want to do all these great things that I was doing before Fukushima happened. I want to do all these great things yet, and I want us all to be able to enjoy the incredible gifts that we share with each other on a daily basis. You know, all the magic that we're able to create for each other and ourselves. Job one is giving back and making sure that the community is taken care of, right? You know, what I've been trying to do, Lonnie, is try to get people not really to think about the negative part about it. Because, I mean, it's there. It's simple. You know, you can really you just get lost and get drowned in that, you know. But that's not the attitude that I bring. Mine has always been the way of the host. I want to make sure that people got smiles on their faces and drinks in their cups and everybody's having a good time. So I come at this from a party mentality.
Yeah, it's that's kind of a fine line, Dave. You know, do you want to be party and be happy? But this is the point. I think the whole point of what you're attempting to say is it's really bad out there, but there is still a lot to be grateful for love life. Because guess what? Human to human, we are what matters. We have these relationships with the plants, the birds, the animals. Those relationships are real. And this is why we feel pain when we go to End Times Prophecy and read about the mass animal deaths that's going on right now. It hurts us because that's our brothers and sisters. Those animals dying around the planet, they're a piece of us on mass graves washing up on shores. It's not just the loss of food. On an unconscious level, we recognize that these are huge schools of fish just being poisoned by something we have no idea what it is. It's exactly the Godzilla theory, right? Mm-hmm. Some monster is about to come walking out of the earth and just destroy humanity.
Yep. And if that happens, then so be it. You know, but still, in the meantime, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
It's that simple, you know? It's like, oh, well, you know, there's always excuses.
I guess this is the Guy McPherson point of view, though, right? This is Guy McPherson, it's really bad. Guy McPherson doesn't think we have 200 years if you listen to him talk.
Right, yep.
But what he says is, you know what? The time we have is now. Let's just work hardest to find the solutions. Yes. This is the hard time. Because we might pull it out. We might be able to get it done. We might accomplish a task. But in the face of this great journey that we have, we can still enjoy our lives. We may be at the bitter end, but man, it's a beautiful life. But unless we keep a positive attitude, we are not going to find solutions.
You're 100% right about that. And so is he. If this is end times, like I said, let's go out with a bang, guys. Let's bring it as hard as we can every single day. And I know we all get caught up with our lives. We all got stuff to do. We all got family to take care of. We all got, really, really important stuff, every single day to do. And that's been my message the whole time. Y'all got 8 minutes, don't you? Y'all got 8 minutes to put on the superhero cape, get out there and, knock out some bad guys, because that's all it takes. If you train yourself real hard, 8 minutes is more than enough time to get out there and, I'm on my mobile. Hey, look, here's some real Fukushima news that I got from, fill in the blank Fuku Fighter site. I'm going to share it with everybody in my social media circles. Ka-ching. 2 minutes later, everybody knows about it. Everybody, is more aware of the situation.
It puts pressure on the elected officials, too.
Yes. And, by sharing information on the web, you are doing a double dip service, because it's not only, you sharing with your peeps, the bots that eat up the information that gets shared, they have to circulate that into the algorithm, too. Y'all got to remember that, that is just as important as sharing the information within your social media groups. Just put that information out there so that the bots can come and feed off of it and put it in the algorithm. Why do you think Fukushima people know about it today?
Why do you think that I immediately found that website with this pro-nuclear lady when I was looking for some nuclear news? Mm-hmm. I found a blog for the lady who was very convincingly saying she got convinced by somebody who studied it to say, oh, it's perfectly safe now. So okay. I want to read a poem before we leave by Lao Tzu. What you were saying reminded me of this from The Way of Life by Lao Tzu, translated by Witter Biner. It's number 75. It says, people starve if taxes eat their grain, and the faults of starving people are the fault of their rulers. That is why people rebel. Men who have to fight for their living and are not afraid to die for it are higher men than those who, stationed high, are too fat to dare to die.
Yep. So that's exactly what we've been saying all along here, Lonnie. We have the dare to be great situation sitting right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. If everyone had jumped on this Fukushima thing from the jump, you know, like the people did in New York for fracking. If everyone just said, no, oh my gosh, la, 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 instead of, you know, listening to the TV saying, you know, Michio Kaku saying, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine. Dr. Oz saying, oh, yeah, don't worry, Mom and Pop America.
President Obama saying things have been taken care of.
Oh, yeah, you'll be the first to know, Mom and Dad America, as he flies off to South America. You know, you know, look at the reality behind what the mainstream is telling you. Your kids already are. Okay, look at that reality and then make that conscious choice for yourself. Are you going to be a superhero or are you going to be a chump? Okay, because these are your only two options, really, at this point. You know, so to me, I'm here to tell you, being a superhero is a hell of a lot more fun than being a chump, because, you know, you get lots done. You make amazing friends. I mean, all the Fuku fighters are like super cool, amazing mm-hmm. people all around the world. And, you know, the COPD folks, you keep making noise over there. We got a long ways to go with climate change. We got a long ways to go with fixing the pollution problems. Fukushima is, to me, still the number one environmental issue that we have to face. But, I mean, there's tons and tons of other issues out there that are a part of this greater contribution. And I think people just need to look at things on a larger scale. Don't worry about the little tiny, you know, minutia part of things. You know, look at things on the larger collective scale and understand how each of us, how we're all hurting each other by allowing this nuclear nightmare to continue, by allowing all of these other toxins into the air, into the water, and things like that. We have got to fight for each other, for at the very least, you know, because, you know, one day mankind's going to wake up and they're going to find themselves all alone in this world. No more cows, no more kitties, no more dolphins, no more nothing. And is that what you wanted? Is that what you meant to do, mankind? Because believe me, you're going to find yourself real lonely if that's the case.
It's that Ayn Randian attitude that, you know, they can, even if we, you know, they have the right to kill all. And if we have to raise our food all in fish farms and food farms, and that's how it's supposed to be because we have a right to do it.
Yeah,
but you know what, Dave? We're out of time, man. We've got like less than a minute left. I can't believe it.
The time always flies.
Thank you, Dave. You've been listening to Dave Parrish from Operation Save the Earth. Please subscribe to him. Go to his website, Operation Save the Earth, and subscribe to his YouTube channel, Dave Parrish, and listen to his Fuku Fridays. They're completely awesome, quite inspiring. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
I want to thank our affiliate in Eugene, Oregon, KEPW, for continuing to share our show. We really appreciate all of our listeners. Please take some action. Put your courage feet on. It really is up to us, and we really can save our planet. Take care, Dave. Thanks.
Battle on, Fuku Fighters.